بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be upon the noble prophet, his household, and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the discussion of Shaykh al-Islam's Ibn Taymiyyah's classical, the concise admonition. And then we have reached this class, which is class number 15. And let me remind you about the previous points that Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, explained. And he said that the details concerning the basics of taqwa, of piety, and the details concerning that is that it covers the entire deen. The fundamental of all of this is ikhlasul abdi li rabbih. In fact, this is the spring of all good, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala. Ikhlasul abdi li rabbih. Ibadatan wa isti'anatan. In worship and in seeking help to conclude the worship. Then he, rahimahullah, explained what is the meaning of ibadah, and we went over the conditions of the ibadah, and we went over the pillars of the ibadah. You find those in class number 13. And also we went over the meaning of isti'ana, seeking the aid, seeking the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of that as discussed in relevance to the meaning of the verse إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone we seek for help. We went over that, and this was in class number 14, and how the ibadah is also linked to the dependence and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turning to Him. And what is that? This is the inaba, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of our affairs. And also we went over the issue of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we discussed the meaning of shukr, being grateful to Allah, and the signs of shukr and the merits of shukr and its importance. And now we have reached this stage now. This is class number 15. In all of what had been discussed, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah came to say that through all of this, the slave of Allah disconnects his heart's attachment to the created, such that he will seek the benefit from Allah, not from them, and he will work for Allah's sake, not for them. So all of this, the spring of all good and its foundation from sincerity of worship, dependence, reliance upon Allah, seeking His help, being grateful to Him and the like, all of this necessitates upon the slave to disconnect his attachment to the created, directing his love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his fear to Him, his hope to Him, avoiding directing any of this to the created. In this way, he will release himself from their captivity, because he will take refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His help in all of his affairs. And this is العز الحقيقي. This is the true might and honor. Seeking Allah alone, worshipping Him alone, hoping in Him alone, fearing none but Him, turning to none besides Him, depending solely upon Him. This will lead to the true success and ultimate might. He said in another place, rahimahullah, the stronger the person hopes in that which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in His mercy, in order to carry on his needs and execute what he wants, the stronger his ubudiyya, his worship and submission will be, and his, the stronger also his liberation from other than Allah. Since it's known that having hope in the created necessitates a form of slavery to him, while on the other hand, discontinuing such attachment necessitates that his heart becomes self-sufficient in no need of the created. It is said, manage to do without the need for someone, you will be his co-equal. And do favors to someone, you will be his leader. And feel the need for someone, you will become his captive. So when the person turns away from seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hoping in Him, then it's inevitable that he will turn his slavery to other than Allah, such that his heart will depend upon Him in order to achieve a worldly gain, leadership, dominion, prestige. قال الله تعالى in سورة الفرقان in chapter 25 verse 58, وتوكل على الحي الذي لا يموت وسبح بحمده وكفى بذنوب عباده خبيرا. In سورة الفرقان, and put your trust, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the ever living one who does not die, and glorify his praises, and sufficient is he as the all-knower of the sins of his slaves. And everyone who attaches his heart to the created, seeking their help, their aid, and their sustenance, then his heart becomes subservient to them. And the degree of submission to them will depend upon the extent of his or her attachment to them. And he, rahimahullah, said that the slavery of the heart is much greater than the slavery of the physical entity. When the heart, which is the king of the body, if it is soft, enslaved, attached in love to other than Allah, then this is in fact the humility, the humiliation, and the pure captivity. Until he said, rahimahullah, the most perfect of the creation and the best and the highest in rank and the closest in nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the strongest and most guided are those who complete their worship to Allah from these angles. And the heart will not relieve itself and feel no need to recreation except when the believer seeks Allah as the true God who deserves to be worshipped alone and seeks Him alone in help and in reliance and does not feel happy except in that which is pleasing to Allah and that which is acceptable to Him. And he does not hate except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates or dislikes, and does not give allegiance and support except to those who deserve that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and does not have enmity except to those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took as enemies and considered as enemies. And he does not love except for Allah's sake, and does not hate anything except for Allah's sake, and he does not give except for Allah's sake, and he does not withhold except for Allah's sake. The stronger his ikhlas of the deen, the sincerity of his deen to Allah, the more perfect his abudiyah is and his relief from dependence upon the Creator. Then he added, rahimahullah, in the text of the concise admonition, وَيَجْعَلْ هِمَّتَهُ رَبَّهُ. He makes his intent and objective Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that he gathered his heart and its intention and its will upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that attaining the pleasure from Allah becomes his highest concern and most noble objective. This requires truthfulness in coming forward, looking to what pleases Allah, and abstaining from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates and or dislikes, and preparing to meet Him, preparing for the day that is coming after this life. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى, the high motivation is in Israel in the person who prepares himself to the meeting with the beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How this is attained? He said, بِمُلَازَمَةِ الدُّعَاءِ لَهُ فِي كُلِّ مَطْلُوبٍ مِنْ فَاقَةٍ وَحَاجَةٍ وَمَخَافَةٍ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. And this is through persisting in dua regarding every matter he requests and wants, or regarding any state like poverty, need, fear, and the like. The reality of this is manifesting his poverty, his need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and freeing himself from any kind of power. This is the high mark of ubudiyyah, of slavery to Allah, and feeling the humiliation of our type, the humankind, its weakness. So persisting in invoking him. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah defined al-du'a, invocation, when he said, seeking that which is beneficial to the person and seeking to relieve himself from that which is harmful to him. So this, Shaykh al-Islam said, this is required regarding every request, meaning to persist on dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring forth what he wants from the good of this deen and the good of this dunya, of this life, whether it is little or much, few or numerous. And then he gave examples, min faqa, from poverty and need, needing something what he likes, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Yusuf in 12:68, illa hajatan fi nafsi Ya'quba qadaha, illa hajatan fi nafsi Ya'quba qadaha, in Surah Yusuf verse 68. And when they entered according to his or to their father's advice, the father of Yusuf and his brothers, of course, it did not avail them in the best against the will of Allah. It was but a need of Yaqub, of Jacob's inner self, which he discharged. And then he said, like in poverty and in need, and makhafa, al-khawf, fear. Everything which a person fears falls under this. And it's expecting something disliked, whether known or thought. And it is a kind of distress which befalls the self because it's expecting something disliked. And it is said also to mean is the running away of the heart from what's expected to be disliked when it is felt. The meaning therefore here in the words of the author Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is that man should make his utmost concern Allah, and thus he should not abandon invoking Allah and should not abandon asking him and showing need to him in all of his affairs, whether that which he hopes for or that which he fears from, because لأن الله يحب الدعاء, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves dua and he loves those persisting on it. Rather, he subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry if he is not asked. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام من لم يسأل الله يغضب عليه. Anyone who doesn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will become angry with him. And this hadith is reported by Ahmad and al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and al-Hakim authenticated it, and al-Dhahabi agreed to al-Hakim's authentication, and al-Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, and may Allah's mercy be upon all of them, hassanahu, considered it to be hasan, good, in Sahih al-Adab al-Mufrad. And the poet spoke beautifully in the following two pieces of poetry when he said, لا تسألن بني آدم حاجة, don't ask your need from the children of Adam. وسل الذي أبوابه لا تحجب, and ask the one whose doors are not closed. الله يغضب إن تركت سؤاله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes angry if you don't ask him. وبني آدم حين يسأل يغضب, and the children of Adam when asked, the son of Adam when asked, he becomes angry. Then he added, رحمه الله, in addition to the persisting in dua, in all that which the person needs and requests. From the examples he gave, then he said, وَالْعَمَلُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ مَحْبُوبٍ meaning seeking means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every legal way legislated that brings the person closer to Allah, whether it is an obligation or recommended action. This brings the end of this part of the discussion, and inshallah ta'ala we continue that in the next class. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم